The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, he said,
to a certain man and elder. The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
amen, I say to you, one of you will betray.
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, he said in reply,
he who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray. The Son of Man, and he goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better
then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, he answered, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
take and eat. This is my body.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of men for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father.
Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be destroyed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee.
Peter said to him in reply, Jesus said to him,
amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me.
Peter said to him, and all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me.
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.
When he had returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He turned to Peter.
So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is not.
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again.
My Father, if it is not possible, let this cup pass without my weakness, your will be.
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your meal? Behold, the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one.
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said, And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
Friend, do what you have done.
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than your legions of angels? But then how would the scripture be fulfilled, which say that it has come to pass to in this world?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowd,
Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, sat teaching in the temple. Yet you did not arrest me, but all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated, the high priest rose and addressed him.
Can you know this? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I wanted you to tell us on the road before the living God, whether you are the Christ.
Jesus said to him in reply,
you have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father, and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
he has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have not heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?
They said in reply,
he is cursed to the
Lord. Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, but he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
I do not know what you are talking about.
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
this is Jesus and
Nazareth. Again he denied it with an oath, a little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter, at that he began to curse and to swear, and immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned in betraying innocent blood.
They said,
"What is that to us? Read yourself."
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said, after consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him. Jesus said, and when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus the Christ?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message.
"Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffer much in my dream today because of him."
The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, they answered,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them, they all said,
"Let me be crucified."
But he said,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Let me be crucified."
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourself."
And the whole people said in reply,
"Is it worthy of us and of all our children?"
Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, They placed it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, They spat upon him, and took the reed, and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him. One on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
He sinners, he must save himself. So he is the King of Israel, letting the power of us fall, and will believe in him. He trusts in God.
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
His voice is glory, glory,
immediately one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
Wait, let's see if you to see him.
But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, Tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
"Surely this was the Son of God."
There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days I will be raised up.' Give orders then that the grave be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' This last imposture would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "The God is yours. Go secure it as best you can." So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
When Jesus came to Jerusalem, the people cried out with one voice, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Save us!" It was a cry from the heart, a cry for life in the face of death. But Jesus, the Son of David, proved to be a different kind of Savior than they had expected. A poor and humble king riding on a donkey, a suffering man of sorrows, not a triumphant conqueror. And soon the very same people who cried out to him for life, "Hosanna, save us," The very same people were crying for his death. We long for life. We need a savior. But we too could miss him and reject him right in front of us because he doesn't come as we expect. Jesus is God, the one who gives life to man. In the beginning, God breathed his spirit into Adam in the garden, the man he had formed from the dust. God gave him all the trees, all the choice fruits of the earth, everything he had made to eat, except one, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which our first parents were not strong enough to eat and live. And when Adam fell, having eaten of that forbidden fruit, and being eaten alive by evil himself, God became man to save mankind, Adam's sons and daughters, all of us, from sin and death, and to restore the gift of life that man had lost in the beginning through disobedience. Throughout the scriptures, from Genesis all the way to the end, to the Last Supper, to the Passion, God is the one giving life to man. And so, on the night before he suffered, Jesus took bread. He took his life into his own hands in order to give it away. Take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is my blood. Jesus offers himself, nothing other than himself, his whole self, for consumption. He identifies himself completely with the bread and the wine in a sacrifice of love. See, he knew nothing less than God himself could satisfy our need for life. Every other food, even those choice fruits that God had made in the garden in the beginning, can satisfy us only for a few hours at a time until we need to eat again. Only the bread from heaven, only the flesh of God, nourishes us with eternal life, divine life, the true life of man, which is to share in the life of God. But in order to give himself away to us, to give us life, and so to save us from death, Jesus' body and blood had to be separated and handed over. His most pure body broken. His most precious blood poured out. And so Christ's Mass, the first Holy Mass, began at the Last Supper, but it ends at Calvary. What Jesus did with the bread and the wine in the upper room is done to him on the cross. His body is broken. His blood, the very essence of life, is poured out upon the earth. Yet that precious blood of God, which watered the ground on Calvary, is the same blood that was offered to the 12, is the same blood we receive sacramentally today at this Holy Mass, at every Holy Mass, the life of God, which has become the life of man. Today, the first day of Holy Week, be attentive. Don't miss him. Jesus is here. He hides himself in the bread and the wine, just as he came into Jerusalem hidden in the clothing of humility and poverty. Yet he was the King, and he is the life-giving one, the one and only Savior who can deliver us from death and sin and make us sharers in life without end. As we receive him in the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, cry out in your hearts, Hosanna, save us, Jesus, Son of David, save us. And we who have eaten the flesh of the Son of God with faith will have life in abundance, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.